Well, it's the supermarket report we've all been waiting for. But is it going to make any difference? Australia's major supermarkets now could face fines that run into the billions of dollars if they fail to comply with a revamped and this is what makes it interesting, a mandatory code of conduct. This has been designed to protect farmers and families. It's the interim review of the Food and Grocery Code of Conduct. And it was released yesterday. And it's got the big four supermarket retailers and wholesalers, Woolworths, Coles, Aldi and Metcash, which supplies IGA, squarely in its sights. Yesterday, a series of recommendations designed to deliver cheaper prices for us and fairer prices for our farmers with the threat of big stick fines. Is it going to work? Does it go far enough? Yesterday, I spoke to David Littleproud, the leader of the Nationals federally, and he joins us now. David Littleproud, good morning. Welcome back to the Night Shift.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Always good to talk to you. I do want to talk about Australian live animal exports, and we'll get to that in just a second because I know there's a lot of my listeners who are wanting to know some answers surrounding all that. But I've got to talk to you about the interim review of the Food and Grocery Code of Conduct that came out yesterday. It has the country's big four supermarket retailers and wholesalers, Woolies, Coles, Aldi, Metcash, on notice. The whole thing is supposed to bring fairer prices to us and fairer prices to the farmers. David, your thoughts. You've had a look at it. Is it going to work?
Well, it'll go some of the way. There is no one silver bullet, and I think that's what we've got to put into context here. Sadly, we could have had this implemented over 12 months ago. I wrote to the government 15 months ago and said, if this is what you want to do as part of the suite of measures that we're putting forward, we would support that and you could actually implement that over 12 months ago. And sadly, it's taken this long to realise there's a cost of living crisis. It goes some of the way around the architecture, and there is a complexity to this around a grocery code that wasn't compulsory, but it's about the fines and it being a deterrent. We are now exploring and have been exploring as Nationals, but now the Liberals are with us as well. Is it also taking that further than just financial penalties to actually having divestiture powers? And that would mean that we would ask them, particularly things where they're land banking and keeping out competition, is it would force them to sell that real estate so that either other competition can come in with that or it's basically taken away so that there is a level playing field. So Angus Taylor and I are working through the architecture of that. But it also doesn't go to the proper arbitration piece of it that needs to be looked at as well, which is around making sure if farmers come forward, they fear intimidation and retribution. So there has to be one that's proactive, that goes out and sees farmers rather than farmers have to put their hand up. And so the design of that is what they're missing in this. So there's some messages in this that we're saying is very good. And sadly, we could have had this some time ago. But just appreciate there's not one silver bullet. And we intend to come forward with a policy that will look to that so there is transparency and fairness in prices from the farm gate to your plate. So that if prices go down for farmers, there should be a commensurate drop at the checkout. If they go up, then you shouldn't expect any greater than what that rise is. And in fact, even at the moment, I was in Dirranbandi in my electorate on the weekend, and a farmer who supplies beef to Woolworths,
yes,
where the farm price, the grid price, has gone up, but Woolworths have said, we are going to drop your price. So they're using the market forces that farmers experience to shield and to mask their behaviour to get bigger profits and take the margin away. And then use other mechanisms to actually also drive up their margin with this front at the supermarket that you're not aware of. And so what we're saying is we don't want to fix prices. This doesn't necessarily mean a lower prices straight away, but over time you should have confidence that if there's a movement in the market, it's commensurate at the checkout to what farmers are experiencing.
David Littleproud is with us, leader of the Nationals. You know, you'd think to yourself, why would I be a farmer today? Gee, you got everything against you, not just the weather and inflation, the cost of living, but you've got all this against you as well. I got a couple of interesting emails, which I should have forwarded them on to you, my bad, from two farmers, both of them saying that it's incredibly hard dealing with Woolies and Coles on so many levels, but one of them is, if you grow oranges and your oranges are too big, they won't accept them.
Yep.
And there was a lamb farmer from, where was it, Cowra? I can't remember. I'll find the email, who said, he grows lambs on his property and he has particularly good growth. His lambs are often too big to fit in their carton. Really?
Yeah. This is the other trick that they use. They use specifications to actually penalise farmers, whether it be with meat or whether it be with fresh produce. In fact, in Orange, there's a cherry producer there that has just had enough of it, that he tore out all his cherry trees. And established trees. Yes, yes. And this is the sad thing, is that he sent in a semi-load of cherries, tens of thousands of pieces of fruit, and it was rejected and downgraded by Woolworths or Coles from what should have been paid of $95,000 to $5,000. Now, I get in tens of thousands of pieces of fruit, there'll be a couple that I'll scratch on them that might meet their specification, but that is taking advantage of what we call a perishable commodity. Because it has a short shelf life, they then realise these farmers got nowhere else to sell their commodity. So they're going, well, we're just going to have to take what we get from the supermarket, even though it's $90,000 less than what they've got. So why would you go through the trouble of dealing with that? And, you know, the supermarkets have used all these little tricks and they mount up and they make it harder. And, in fact, what's happening is some of the big guys are now saying, let's not worry about using Coles, Woolworths and Aldi. We'll use export markets because we're big enough to do it. But what's happening is it's a small guy that's going, I don't have the capacity to deal with Coles and Woolworths. They're too big. They're too brutal. I'm just going to get out of it. And that means our food security goes down. And ultimately, our food prices will go up.
So this review that came out yesterday, is it going to work?
In some parts of it will. But again, there is multifaceted approaches to this that's required. There's not one silver bullet. That is some of the bullets that need to be fired, but we need to go deeper and further with that. And you know, when you had the ACCC chair come out last week and say, divestiture powers is actually a tool I would like to have in the toolkit, yet the government is siding with Dr. Emerson saying, no, we don't need it, you've got to wonder why.
Yeah.
I mean, you only use this if someone's done the wrong thing. As legislators, if you're making laws with penalties, whether it be from a criminal sense of sending people to jail or in the corporate sense in giving punitive financial penalties, they're there, you hope, never be used, but they're there as deterrents. And this is what this government's not understanding. Not only do they take 12 months to even get to this juncture of some small steps, they've ignored the signs and misunderstood the fact that there are Australians out there today that are missing meals. They are going to the supermarket, and in a country of 27 million people, when we produce enough food and fibre for 80 million people, to think that we are in a situation where there are Australians that are basically skipping meals or are basically putting fresh produce back on the shelf because they can't afford small portions of it, we've got to ask the question, why wouldn't we put every measure we could to protect Australians and to make sure there is fairness from farmers, but there is fairness in prices from the farm gate to your plate. I've been given the privilege to go to the Australian Parliament. I believe I've got a responsibility to live up to that and keep fighting for it. Proudly, we're going to go from Peter Dutton and I are going to work through that and try to come forward with a better competition policy that will have that fairness.
Tell me about
Australian consumers and farmers.
Sorry, David Littleproud is with us. David, tell me about your thoughts about getting the courts to force corporations like Woolies and Coles to sell assets if they grow too big.
Yeah, well, this is the divestiture power, and this is where you've got to be careful. Is it should be predicated on a scaling up model and where egregious behaviour, because it's meant to be a deterrent. But you've got to be careful about who makes that decision. And if you make it and put it all in the hands of politicians, then you do risk that becoming a political decision, one that's predicated on a principle in our society that you're all innocent until proven guilty. Now, I I've already made my decision on what I believe Coles and Woolworths. I think they're damn right guilty, but there should be an independent arbiter to make that determination, not a politician. And my decision's predicated on the experience I have for the people I represent in Western Queensland. But there should be an independent arbiter to make that determination, and that gives it validity as well. Because if a judge or a court or an independent committee comes to that determination, then there has been justice that has been dealt fairly, and everyone's been given the opportunity to put their case. And that's what I believe we need to work towards when we look at these things like divestiture power of real estate or anything else that we look at.
There's something else I needed. We're going to run out of time. We need to talk more often. There's something else I needed to talk to you about, and that is the growing number of homelessness that appears to be happening everywhere around Australia, not just in our capital cities. And there was a story in the Courier Mail on Sunday, you may have seen it, about a new tent city that's just appeared at Musgrove Park. I had a caller ring me just the other night who said he counted 77 tents. But everywhere you look, there are people sleeping rough, and we're heading towards winter. This is Australia. This shouldn't be happening, David.
No, and I'm not going to throw a grenade at Albanese on this one. So housing stock, and this is all about supply, that lands squarely at the feet of state and local government. They hold the planning pen.
Right.
And they have been too slow in trying to increase the supply so that there's more land available, more houses that get built on them, so that you increase the supply. The only thing I would say about the Albanese government is they're bringing in 1.5 million million people, which is the size of Adelaide in this country over the next couple of years. They brought in 700,000 last year, and they're going to top that up over the next 3 years to 1.5 million people. That's a city the size of Adelaide we've got to find houses for. And when you've got kids now, and the average home in Brisbane, as I understood, was about $900,000, there are kids that are now sitting there going, I will never own my own home. And this is where we've also got to be honest, and it's easy for me being from Western Queensland, but we need to have a conversation with people who want to live in a capital city. If you want to live in a capital city, we're going to have to build up, not out. We're going to have to say, yes, you might not get the 600 square metre block with the 4-bedroom double lockup. If you want to live in a capital city, then it might be like New York or London. You'll be living in a flat. But that's a decision you get to make. If you don't, or there's opportunities to go to the bush. But we need to increase supply, and we need to slow down this migration to the extent that the people that we bring in, and this is makes it even more insane. I said I wasn't having a chop at the federal government, but I'll have another one. The people that are those 1.5 million they're bringing in, one of the skills that they've removed from the people that they want to bring in are tradies.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't you think that if you actually need more supply, and we don't have the supply of builders and electricians and plumbers, wouldn't you put as a priority the people you bring in this country are the ones that can actually help get us out of this problem? Common sense has just been lost.
I was talking to Dan Teen about this just before I went on leave. I can't believe that one of the skills required to come here as a migrant you would think it would be being a tradie, because we have a skill shortage. I also, Dan said, oh, you've got to have a reasonable grasp of English. I said, what does that mean? We're not sure. Do you have to be able to understand English? How capably? I mean, we're not asking people to spell chrysanthemum, but what level of English do we need? Maybe I'll get Dan Teen back on again. Look, I wanted to talk to you about the rain bomb that hit the eastern seaboard of Sydney over the weekend. So much rain, and most of it running off roofs, down roads, into the ocean. The only way you'll get it back is if you have a desal plant. We need to build more dams, don't we, David Littleproud? Don't we need to build more dams, harvest this precious, precious thing, water, and then pipe it from where it's wasted to where it's needed? I talk about Warragamba Dam, and of course, yes, it peaked again, and it always was going to, but despite the wisdom of Tim Flannery. Don't get me started on Tim Flannery. But can you have dams that provide a drinking water supply and can also be used as flood mitigation?
Yes, and that's all just about the management of that dam and how you release water down the system as you see rain events coming through. You're managing it and letting them out, and that is something that is just common sense. And you know, the thing that we've all, and the culture that's crept into this country that really upsets me, is we've created this culture of why not to do things rather than how do we. And, you know, when we were in government, we had over $7 billion set aside to build dams in this country. But what Australians don't understand is, it's illegal for a federal politician to pick a shovel up and to dig a hole to build a dam. The states own and manage the resources, which is water. And if they didn't have to pay for bugger all of these things. And we just said to them, look, you approve it, we'll cut the check, start burning some diesel, digging some holes, mitigate the risk that we've got for all the rain events that we've got. But also, it's not just about drinking water. If we're smart about it, you can actually mitigate by growing industry with it, because you provide that for agriculture and industry itself. You can utilize the water that's in that storage in the big events to be able to protect it when the big rains do come through. And you grow the pie, you grow the economic pie. That's common sense. And, you know, sometimes I wish I was a state politician, because I'd have more power in being able to do things like that than what I do as a federal politician. And I think it's time for the conviction and courage of some of our state guys. And we're going to have a state election in October in Queensland. I think my mob here in Queensland need to stand up and say, these are the dams that we're going to back. If the feds give us some money, we're going to do it. And I can tell you, Peter Dutton and I will be prepared to stand beside them and say, the check's cut, start burning diesels, plumb this nation, and use the water, not just for mitigation, but use some common sense about making sure our population's got water and our industry's grown.
But all those,
that is what people want with their taxpayers'
dollars. But all those dams that overflow when we do have a rain event, it's wasted. It's our most precious resource, water. And imagine if all that water being released from Warragamba could go to somewhere else and be harvested again and piped to where it's needed. It's just such a waste of a precious resource. There's so much else I wanted to talk to you about. I wanted to talk about Australian live cattle exports and sheep exports. We've run out of time. Maybe next time. Quickly, David, are we now slowly winning the battle against the fire ants?
No. And the government's not serious about it. And unfortunately, we're going to end up in a management process with fire ants, which means that this is coming to a park or even your backyard. Not only will it cost agriculture about $2 billion, the medical profession believe there's probably 150,000 extra presentations to doctors because of these things. And in severe cases, fire ants can kill people. So just understand, we have to spend $200 million a year for the next four to be able to eradicate. They're talking about $200 million for the 4 years that they're prepared to spend on it. We've spent millions already, and unfortunately, it wasn't this federal government's fault. It was the Queensland government, who had been given all the money by the federal government and state governments, who just squandered that money. And instead, when we had it contained, they've now let it explode again. And unfortunately, I fear it's up in Toowoomba, which could get it down to Murray-Darling, which puts it down to as far as Adelaide, and it's crossed the border into northern New South Wales. So it's frightening. And I've got to say, just understand that when these things get in, they'll render your backyard useless.
David Littleproud is leader of the Nationals. It's always good to catch up. Thanks for filling us in on your thoughts on these really important national issues, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Sounds good. Happy to.
This is The Night Shift. The Night Shift on the Triple M Network.